question is, where does telemedicine fit in? This takes the patient away from the physical. What do you think about telemedicine, Abraham?
You know, my colleagues at Stanford have something called a digital health clinic, and they offer patients a mix of coming in person or connecting electronically, you know, obviously depending on the situation. And as I understand their data, to their surprise, you would have thought that young people would have picked the telemedicine, the digital connection, but to their surprise, they actually elected to come more often, whereas the more seasoned, older patient, you know, didn't want to deal with the parking, the validation of the sticker and all that stuff, and were much more likely to make use of it. And I think the mix is great, so yeah. I'm actually all for it. I think you need great discernment to...
But you talk about laying one's hands on the patient, and you can't do that remotely, so that problem?
I think when they have a focus problem that, you know, you need to examine them, then obviously it's hard to do that on telemedicine. But, you know, for example, I think Kaiser has a great way of sort of all their post-op visits. They don't have to happen 4 days later and you find parking and you schlep your way up to the fourth floor. And, you know, 2 hours after the patient's home, there's a video conference call with the surgeon.
Right.
And to see how they're doing. So that sort of advance, I think, we absolutely need. And I think there's a lot of good data to say that it's easily done.
But I also want to ask all of you, so now today in the U.S., besides the other problems we have, it takes over 3 weeks to get an appointment, on average 6 weeks plus in Boston to get a primary care doctor appointment, whereas in a matter of seconds or minutes you could be connecting through your phone or your tablet to speaking for a doctor for a video consult. It's not the continuity, it's not your doctor perhaps, but it's reimbursed the same way as if you had a visit, at least in some, you know, employers and Medicare. So what are your thoughts about that? Is that a fix for this, a lack of access? Is this the future? You know, what do you think?
Yeah, I thank you so much for this question. And I'll answer it through a story. I grew up in Eastern North Carolina, and it was an area that really started thinking about rural health and really needed to, because the primary medical centers weren't something where I did my medical training in Boston, and you essentially can't turn around without hitting a hospital. But in areas where you're really thinking about how do we get to people who have real problems, the first comment, how do you really connect with a group of people who may not have other resources? And so this is years ago, they had started a telemedicine program to try to extend care and reduce disparities. And I was really struck, a lot of times it would work, you maybe met the physician one time, so at least that there was, you knew who your doctor was, and then there were local health workers that were still making human connections. But all of a sudden, pieces of specialty care that were never open, it was never an option for someone, it was allowing people to get access to care. And so I think used in that way to try to reduce health disparities, that is a really meaningful piece. It doesn't replace the laying of hands, but I've been impressed with places where we had need. The other thing is we hosted, I went and did a rotation down there in medical school in North Carolina, and we hosted a group from many different countries internationally where the number of health providers just couldn't match, and so they had local care workers that were paired with physicians in the larger city. So I think creative uses of that kind of telemedicine to me was really interesting.
Telemedicine's absolutely going to be a significant part of the future of healthcare delivery for all the reasons you guys just said. I think there's some interesting data that we've gotten from when we survey our patients who had video visits versus an in-person visit. I had exactly the same concerns that the patients aren't seeing you, they're not going to reveal what they need to reveal. It turns out that their satisfaction measures and their quality measures are actually higher for a video visit than they are for an in-person. Now, again, these are follow-ups, you know what's going on, but just the value of you didn't have to drag in, you didn't have to drive through the traffic, you didn't have to park, you didn't have to wait in the waiting room with the sick people. You got an interaction with your provider that feels just like an interaction That's incredibly satisfying, and you can increase the volume of those. The other thing we need to do is we need to decrease the documentation burden of video visits. A video visit that's recorded is self-documented, right? Like, so I'm gonna do this, and then I'm gonna start typing what just happened. I mean, that's insanity, right? So we have to fix that part of it. But the video visits, right, you have to break them down into, is it a follow-up visit with your continuity provider, which I think are great? Is it an easy way to get a prescription because you know your real doctor won't give you one? Not so great, right? And that's what a lot of that, you know, acute care stuff comes out to be. But the convenience of them is terrific. And there's been a large program in California for a long time to get that rural specialty care. Right. We do a ton of it, providing pediatric subspecialty care that you can't get anywhere else. Stanford provides it, we provide it. Otherwise, you don't get it in Northern California. And we use video visits to distribute that over Northern California. So there, it's going to be a growing piece of
it. No, I think we've seen many studies that have been reported, and going back to retinopathy, which has been done remotely in rural areas. The point I was trying to get at is, today it's a video consult, tomorrow it'll be a data exchange. Because whether it's sensors, whether it's doing things like a retina exam, or you'll be able to do this, you can do it today. You know, of course, for a kid's ear exam, you can take a smartphone and look in the ear and, you know, talk to a pediatrician, or even get a cloud algorithmic interpretation.